Hannah Gray has been serving the community as a local government councillor for several years. She was nominated to be the 2020-2021 Mayor of the London Borough of Bromley at the height of the COVID pandemic in March 2020. Hannah has for many years been known as one of South London's most prolific small and medium enterprise networkers. Before becoming mayor, Hannah was Bromley's business champion, promoting and helping entrepreneurs achieve their business ambitions. She's now dedicated to helping promote SMEs, charities, and voluntary organizations to learn from their experiences for the benefit of all.
I am really pleased that today I'm joined by Caroline Rowett. And Caroline, I would describe as a life coach that is now specialising in parent coaching. Now, for those of you that don't know what that means, we are going to explain it all, aren't we, Caroline? And I'm really pleased you're joining me. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Hannah. It's lovely to be here.
Oh, I'm so delighted, because I said to you way back when, I had some coaching when my kids were at school, and it was the Be a Good Parent course, which we were all encouraged to go on because they were trying to get us to think in the same way as the school was thinking. And when we talked about this, you did giggle and say, well, I don't do it quite like that. So I think it's really important we explain to people what on earth parent coaching is about. It's not dictatorial, is it? How would you describe the way that you coach people?
Well, really, I provide a space for them to think well for themselves so that they can work out how they want to parent, because we're given an awful lot of advice from every which way. I was even yelled at from across the road to cover my baby's head. I don't think parents need more advice per se, but what they don't get a lot of is time and space to think with some really good questions. About what's important to them, about what they value, about the bigger picture of their role as a parent. So that's what I help them to work out, really.
And do you do that on a one-to-one basis, or do you have classes that people come to? Or classes is probably the wrong word, but sessions people could come to together?
So I do both, Hannah. I do one-to-one work, which I really love, and I also do group work. So the group work is about sharing some information and some knowledge about certain aspects of how best to do things, but also to ask some really good questions on the topic that we are addressing in the course.
Yeah, no, that's it's so important to do that. And forgive me, just as we're getting into the meat of this, I recognise that accent. So where are you from originally, Caroline?
I'm from Zimbabwe, Hannah. So, yeah.
That's lovely. I love the accent. So are your parents still over there?
They are, yes. So I moved over here in 2002. I followed my husband, who was then my boyfriend at the time, over here, and we've not left since.
Oh, how romantic. I love it. And you're local, aren't you? You're a Bromley girl.
Well, I'm actually just over the border in Lewisham. But yes, I am local, and I have clients from Bromley. So, you know, it's familiar.
I'm sure people will travel to you, though. And and we've adopted you anyway. So as far as I'm concerned, you're a Bromley girl. But I know people will travel to you, and they have traveled to you, because your courses are amazing. And, you know, I think you're so right. When people first become parents or realise they're going to become parents, they do all that reading. I remember doing it myself. I had endless books that people gave me. But really, a bit of intuition is so important, and you can feel under so much pressure. It's the most important job you'll ever have. I mean, job's the wrong term, isn't it? But it's the most important thing you'll ever have, is bringing up a young person. And I think sharing that with someone and getting some good, wise words and coaching, and have someone to ask questions of that's not judgmental, must be so important. So what kind of ages do you work with? Do you work with parents maybe even before children are born, or do you wait until they are born?
Well, Hannah, I can really work with parents who've got children of any age. And actually, before birth, lining up things can be really useful, because it's a stressful and anxious time often. So working out what's causing some of that anxiety so that you can feel calmer. But that can be the same for parents of children who are 15, you know, you can feel that same sort of anxiety about things that you're facing with your parenting. So it's not really dependent on the child's age, but more about what the parent's facing and what they need to sort out and help with.
So, I mean, that really sparks a thought with me, because I was lacking in confidence, I think, really, as my kids changed and developed. And that's why when I went on that sort of bad parenting course, I was grateful for it, because I was grateful for the fact I could be very honest, and I was nervous and I was probably making mistakes and I didn't understand boundaries and things like that. But they changed. So there's different stages, and depending on, I suppose, how you were parented, and I did have great parenting, but how you're parented will make you maybe more nervous about different stages that your children are going through. Do you do specific kind of stages, like teenagers and before teenagers and things like that?
Yeah, so some of the workshops that I do will address a particular age. So, for example, I've just recently run a pre-teens workshop, which is a tween age group. So looking at how what's happening for children at that age can be really useful, because they're going through a huge amount of cognitive development at that age. So understanding some of that can be useful, and that's going to be different for a teenager or a 7-year-old or a 2-year-old. There's different things that are happening for them. So some of that can be really useful to understand as well. So we address some of that in the workshops. The other questions are really helping the parents to think about, perhaps reflect back on how they were parented, because that can be a really useful exercise, actually, to understand, you know, what was it like when we were spoken to when we were 12? You know, what did it feel like, and what worked for us, and what motivated us, and what didn't motivate us? So those kind of questions can be really useful to reflect on as well for parents.
Yeah, I think you did answer the question. But I think that, you know, that you're sparking some thoughts again in me. So when my younger one, Ollie, became a teenager, my older one had already gone through it. So I didn't find it quite so frustrating, I suppose, is the word. So when he'd go off to school, refusing to wear a coat and is pouring with rain, and I'm all right, Mum, you know, all that sort of stuff, I didn't quite react as vehemently, maybe that's a bit aggressive, but as strongly as I did with Charlie, because I thought, well, in a way, they need to learn to make mistakes and then they'll learn from it. It's not necessarily my job to make sure that they know everything. I plant everything in my head into their head, because it's not the same for them at that age. They can't possibly know it all at that point, and they have to. It's okay to make mistakes, because you learn from them, isn't it?
Absolutely. And some of the reason that we react so vehemently about things is because we have assumptions about what we should and shouldn't be controlling about our children. And as they get older, we have to let go more and more of that. We can't put the coat on them anymore. So we get to a stage where we do have to let go, but that assumption that we're there to protect them and that we're there to make sure they're warm and well cared for is really strong. So we do have to let go of some of those thoughts and understand really what they are. You know, you understand them when you've been through it once, don't you, as you said, Hannah? But what I help parents do is see it for the first time, so they don't have to go through it once. They can sort of understand what they're believing about their role as a parent, which may or may not be true and may or might not be useful.
But even if they've been through it once, you could still learn from it, can't you? I mean, because you don't necessarily get it right first time, just because you've gone through that, you could still learn from all of that. And I would imagine boundary setting and things like that are quite important. And when I look back on my upbringing, my father was terribly clever at setting a boundary, but actually that wasn't the boundary. That was the boundary to keep me safe. His boundary was at least an inch bigger than that all the way around. So I could break the rules and feel really naughty, but I hadn't actually gone anywhere near being as naughty as he thought was bad. So he was quite good at doing that. He's quite good at encouraging young people and inspiring them. And he had this way of standing up and looking at you without having to shout at you. It's quite an incredible skill, which I'm afraid I've never learnt. But I'm sure you go through all these sorts of things because you must want to talk about, parents must want to talk about how they control temper tantrums or how they control frustration from the children. Or is it control or is it understanding? Do you go through that kind of thing in your workshops?
Absolutely. Because, you know, one thing that's really important for us parents to learn is that we can't control our children. They will always have free will. And while we would love to have them on a little remote control, we can press the button, say, stop that and pause that and quieten down. We can't, unfortunately. So understanding that is really important. And then understanding how can we guide them? How can we encourage them? How can we motivate them to behave in a way that is acceptable? And how can we create boundaries that are useful and keep them safe? But really understanding the point that we can't actually control them, which
is... So what about terminology? Do you talk about terminology? Because sometimes we will repeat a phrase that maybe we've heard other people use, and it's quite a negative way of communicating. Do you talk about that?
I do. And actually, I suppose I talk about most of that in social media and blogs and things. But one of the things that is used so often in parenting is pick your battles. And personally, I don't think that war analogy is appropriate for dealing with children. So, you know, even that sentence, although it is said in so many parent books, and you know, if we stop and think about it, do you want to go into battle with your child ever? And probably for most parents, the answer is no, of course I don't. But if we don't, you're absolutely right about thinking about what we say and the words that we use. And are we just repeating things that we've heard because they were said to us? Are they things that we want to say? You know, and that does take a lot of thinking about, because we do open our mouths and sort of out pop our parents, which can be wonderful and can also, you know, be detrimental as well.
Yes, I was always very encouraged. I was very lucky. You know, the philosophy was you can do whatever you choose to do and we're behind you and we'll back you. But we do have phrases in society, not even from our parents or our grandparents, but in society or friends, which can be so negative towards children, can't they? And when you want to actually encourage them, but we tend to use a negative term. I do remember one thing that you said to me, and what I love about some of these skills that you talk about is that they're so transferable, not necessarily just with children, but with adult-to-adult conversations as well. And you said, respond, not react. And that has stuck with me because I tend to react. I'm a kind of hot-blooded, people would think Italian, but I'm not. And I tend to react to things. Not that all Italians are like that, but you know what I mean. And really, sometimes just a little bit of thought, a little bit of calm and a respond is far better because, you know, you see your parents screaming at their kids. They're not doing it because they don't like them. They're doing it because they're reacting. So they might be embarrassed if they're showing off or misbehaving or something, they're going to do something dangerous. And so they react. But, you know, sometimes a respond is better. So you talk about all of that kind of behaviour as well, do you?
Absolutely. And I really help parents to work out what's causing that reaction. So you know, what do they believe that's making that so difficult to respond calmly to, or what can they do in that moment? And those are the kind of questions that we'll look at in coaching, particularly one-to-one coaching. Because as you've touched on, that embarrassment factor, you know, the sort of, and again, that's down to often what is said in society about things, that we should be able to control our child. If our child is lying on the floor having a tantrum, there's something wrong with us as a parent if we're not able to control that child. So we get this sort of sense of embarrassment. And of course, that feeling of embarrassment and those thoughts in our head that are saying we should be able to control this child make us react in a very authoritarian way of it often, you know, that come on, come with me, get out of here. We've got to move on. You're doing the wrong thing, child. And we do, you know, yell at the child instead of being able to pause in that moment and actually see our child who is having an experience often of very overwhelmed by their emotions. They can't control themselves. They certainly can't use their words in that moment. You know, seeing that child for what's happening for them and being able to then respond because we are calm, because we understand our own emotions, and we understand that perhaps we do have that flash of wanting to react, but we've thought it through and we know it's not the best response. And so we're able to take that deep breath and do what's best for the child. But it does take a little
skills.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, I think we all wish. You see, now this is the thing. Do we all think we're bad parents? Do we all at some point in our lives think, oh, I wish I was better at this. I really wish I knew more about this. But they don't come with a manual, do they? And we have to learn as we go along. And every child is different because, as I said, I've got two sons and they are very, very different in personality and the way that react to situations are different. So I think parent coaching is such a great idea because it's so confidential as well, isn't it? You can people can fess up to doing things that are wrong and you don't sit there and judge them. You're there to talk about it, work out what it was, work out how where they want to go, how they want to parent. You can do all of that in confidentiality. So gives people great confidence. So your courses, Caroline, how often do you run your courses?
So I've got a variety of ones, and it depends actually. It tends to be based on what I think, if I read, I'm reading a lot about mental health and anxiety in children, then I might think, right, it will be a good opportunity to run a course on that. But my sort of standard ones about parenting, which are for the younger children, sort of pre-prep or pre-age, so I run those separately. I probably do them about every 6 months. And then I've got one for tweens and teens. And then I also run a couple of support groups for parents, which are on a monthly basis. So that's a more regular thing.
And
one-to-one coaching is always accessible anytime. So, yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you there. Do your group sessions, do you find that parents find it good to be able to share with each other, to share experiences with each other, and they help each other? Do you find that comes across? That in the one that I did find that, and actually I made a really good friend on one of those occasions, and we're still in touch now because we had that sharing, oh my goodness, I can't believe I've done this week moment. And so I imagine they could make a bond between the parents as well on your courses.
Yeah, and that was really the idea of the support groups, which was born out of feedback from one of my tweens courses, because we didn't have that ongoing support. And I got feedback from one of the participants and said, it was wonderful, but then it would have been so nice to keep going with those parents and to develop that relationship. So that was great feedback to get. And so that's why I started the sort of more ongoing support groups, because absolutely, particularly at the moment, parents are really parenting in isolation and it's hard. That is really hard.
Really hard. And you said you have a Facebook page, a website. So people have ways of accessing some of your knowledge that you put out there and top tips and things like that. So if you had a top tip, putting on the spot, I'll keep jabbering on for a minute to get a chance to have a think. But if you had a top tip for a parent, apart from the one I've already nicked, which is, respond, not react. What other little classics, or have you got any other little nuggets that you would share with parents?
Well, I think that the one thing that we can do for our children, which is more valuable than anything else, is really to appreciate them for who they are. So to look for the qualities and the things that make them, that you love and that you admire, and to say them out loud to them. Because so often parents will say them to a friend. Oh, my daughter's so kind, and she bought me a lovely cup of tea. But say it to your child. I love how kind you are. I love how creative you are. I really admire your determination. Those sort of things are so easy to say to children, and yet we forget too often to say them. So that would really be my top tip, because it just grows their self-esteem, which is, I think, a large part of what parenting should be about.
Yes, no, I love that. That's a very good idea. And I've actually, now you've said it, I've heard you say that before. And it, that positive affirmation about good behaviour and good qualities that they have, good being a lovely, lovely human being that you love is always very important. No, I'm, yeah, very impressed, Caroline. So what we're going to do, we're going to put all of your details on the podcast, on the information. And so if people want to get hold of you, then they can. And I will give them some ways of seeing your other social media as well. So if you give us all of that, we'll put it up for you. Be delighted. Thank you so much. I mean, part of these podcasts I'm doing are to give people little nuggets of inspiration to get them through this really hard time. We've had a terrible year of it. Some people far worse than others. And as you say, parents and children have all been suffering during this time and being, homeschooling, we didn't even go into the struggles of homeschooling, but people have really been struggling. And it's so good to know that you are there and that people can talk to you and get some advice from you. So I really do appreciate that. So before I go, my one last little question, which I hopefully, because I know you've listened to some of my podcasts, it's not going to be too much of a shock, is if we were going to have a dinner party, and of course I've already invited myself, this way I get invited to lots of dinner parties, who would you have at your dinner party table?
Well, this is just such a difficult question because I find so many people so very fascinating. But I think that more than anything, I would love to have some of my ancestors round for dinner and really find out. There's some fascinating stories. There were a lot of intrepid explorers in my forefathers and mothers. And I would really love to hear those stories firsthand. So I think
that sounds fascinating. I'm so pleased I've invited myself. That sounds fascinating.
Yes, and you can come up with some wonderful questions for them.
Oh, that would be lovely. I can understand that. There's been a varied response to that question, but that's a very understandable one. And one of the people I interviewed, Alison Delaney, who loves to help children follow their dreams, she wanted children because she says they are so fascinating and you never know what they're going to come up with. And quite often we don't invite children to our dinner parties, do we? We get terribly sophisticated and, you know, they're just so comical because they're so real. And I know you have a passion for children, and, and as do I. So maybe we'll throw a few children in with your ancestors and see what happens. That would be lovely. What a wonderful dinner party.
Absolutely. My daughter said that she would have celebrities because you never know, your ancestors could be really boring. Maybe we need to invite her to a different dinner party of ours, Hannah.
Oh, we'll think of another one. Absolutely. Get some celebrities together too. But thank you for your time, Caroline. It's been really lovely talking to you. And I hope everybody else has enjoyed this podcast as much as I have. And we'll definitely put all of your contact details up there. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you for joining me today. If you know someone or are someone who should join me, please get in touch. Meanwhile, believe in yourself, support others, and please stay safe.